Would you please join me in prayer? Author God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with you, and the Word was you. We ask that the Holy Spirit write on our hearts and minds what your Word reveals to us today, so that we receive your wisdom and do as you have commanded. Amen. Our first reading is from Acts 16, 9 through 15. Listen for the word of the Lord. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia. Being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We therefore set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of the Lord.
Our New Testament reading for today is from the Gospel of John, starting in chapter 14, verses 23 through 29. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, 'I am going away, and I am coming to you.' If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, I pray that you speak through me, and when and where necessary, in spite of me. And Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. And for those of you who have bubbles, I encourage you again, when you feel the Holy Spirit, when you want to feel the Holy Spirit, when you hear peace or advocate, feel free. I already see bubbles and I'm loving it. As I was preparing the sermon for this week, I found myself in a conversation about how to, while camping, decide when to ride out a storm or pack it up and move out. And it made me recall an experience, although not a camping experience, that I had many years ago. A group of friends and I had tickets to see Trombone Shorty at Wolf Trap. We were big jazz fans and very excited about the show for many reasons, but not least because we as a group rarely got to spend time with one another due to our chaotic and challenging schedules. The day of the long-awaited concert finally arrived. We had lawn seats, so of course we all got there early, brought picnic goodies to share, cheese and crackers, assorted fruit, pasta, all the fixings. Laughter and stories and great times were being shared by all. That is, until suddenly, a storm rolled in. A storm we were utterly unprepared for. And in an instant, the clouds turned dark, the bottom dropped out of the sky, and it started to pour. All around us, people in the lawn seats were scrambling to pack up their things, their gear, and run to their car, sure to miss the concert that was about to take place. And it was as if we were in slow motion, and everything around us was fast forward. As I looked down at the disintegrating paper plate in my hand, I noticed my friend frantically burying her phone in her bag to keep it from getting wet, and processed that the only immediate cover that we had with us was the already soaked blanket that we were sitting on. And I was wrestling with some rather negative feelings, to say the least. And the group faced a decision. Do we sit here in the storm with no way of ending, no way of knowing if it was ending, and no way to keep or stay dry? Or do we pack it up, go home, miss the event, and miss out on the company that we had long awaited for? Those negative feelings that I had in that moment, disappointment, fear, anger, frustration, overwhelm, grief, anxiety, they aren't so different from what we experience in our lives daily. They show up in our to-do lists, the job so we can pay the bills, the house chores so we can make sure our family is fed and our space is clean, the meetings and events to help the community organizations that we have pledged our time to, the neighbor we said we would make a meal for. All of these things pile up in an ever-growing to-do list. Peace. Be with you. They show up in our questioning. Did I say the wrong thing? What if I don't pass that test? What if I lose my way? What if they never forgive me? Did I stand up enough for them? Peace be with you. They show up in our grief. Mourning the loss of a loved one or a beloved pet. Learning to live with different abilities than we once had. Wrestling with the hatred and the violence in this world. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. It is a phrase we are conditioned to respond to. We did it earlier today, and also with you. And it is the gift of peace that Jesus offers his disciples both before his departure and upon his resurrection and return. Peace, that blessed gift where we experience the stillness and centeredness amidst the chaos and the storm. Peace. That feeling of rootedness, where we feel we can withstand the changes and chances of this life. Peace. Something that seems almost impossible as everything changes. Even the earth itself is always moving and rotating and shifting. One of the recent realizations I've had is that peace, no matter how hard we strive to experience it, is not a mode we can set or a filter we can choose to put on our day. It isn't something that pauses our lives in the good place when we feel financially stable, with a roof over our head, rooted and steady. And yes, those things do often make us feel comfortable and secure and at peace. But peace, Christ's peace, is an acceptance of where we are in the moment and whose we are in that moment. Peace is our way of sitting securely in that relationship with God. The gift of peace that Jesus breathes is not one that pushes us under a rock to hide in quiet solitude, but rather it calls us close to be nestled safely and securely in Christ, our holy comforter and advocate. When we nestle there, and yoke ourselves to Christ, it allows us to let go of all those things which we try so hard to control. It allows us to see the human and divine love and hope that surrounds us in this beautiful and complicated world. When we nestle ourselves in Christ, we see that God does and will always take us under care and lift us up, walking with us through the chaos and the storms. That active, compassionate, and loving presence of God in our lives allows us to let go and experience peace. Jesus tells his disciples that he is leaving them, a statement that is sure to unsettle them. But he says he is leaving them with an advocate. And we have this too, the indwelling Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us, to buoy us when we feel like we are sinking. That Spirit, whether it shows up within us or in the reflection of our neighbor, breathes in us peace and stillness, meeting us where we are and reminding us that we are never alone. No, this relational peace that Christ offers us does not eliminate the to-do list, as much as we might wish it would, nor does it wash away the grief that we might be feeling. Christ's peace offers us a comfort beyond our control and understanding. It empowers us to say no to the to-do list without feeling guilt. It invites us into a space to grieve without pressure or judgment. And it inspires us to be in the present without crippling anxiety over tomorrow. Christ's peace allows us to get out of the way and be in relationship with the living God ever present in our lives. Panning back now to Wolf Trap, where me and my friends were sitting on a muddy blanket in a downpour, soaking wet with half the picnic and what was left of the disintegrated plates packed up. In that moment, one that for many would be considered unpleasant at best, unless you were like a dear friend of mine who takes every chance she can get to romp around in the rain, but I digress. In that moment, we all decided to stay. And with that decision, something amazing happened. We had a wonderful time. The choice to stay there together in the rain highlighted our deep relationships and commitment to one another. The choice to stay there, to accept what was and lean into the present moment, reminded us to trust the relationships we had built, and it enabled us to just be and be together in the storm. All of a sudden, the slow motion stopped. The negative feelings I had running through my head faded away with the water rolling down the hill. The sound of laughter returned and intermingled itself with the music which had been started, and it was phenomenal, and great times were shared by all. As the concert neared its end, the rain had even stopped, but no one noticed. And the band led the crowd in a traditional New Orleans second line, with its handkerchiefs waving in the air and the dancing umbrellas strolling through the aisles. At this point, we were having such a still-soaked time and fun time together that we didn't even wonder why they didn't distribute those umbrellas earlier. I share this story because it taught me something about the peace of Christ and the peace that we are called to offer one another. When my friends and I decided to stay at the concert in the storm, we felt at peace, not because the earth was still, not because we had no other choice, not because we liked the chaos, and not even because we knew the storm would end, because we didn't. We felt at peace because we let ourselves be nestled in the relationships we had with one another, trusting that even through the storm, we are not alone. The same is true with Jesus. When we say, "Peace be with you," it is a wonderful and beautiful reminder that we are never alone in the joys of the day and the sorrows of the night, in the perfect spring weather and in the dreaded heat of August. Paraphrasing one of my favorite Scottish folk singers, Dougie MacLean, we are ready for the storm. Yes, we're ready. And with God walking alongside us every day, drawing near to us and illuminating our path, even if we go astray, we are indeed ready to weather any storm that comes our way.